Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. The old saying goes that nothing is certain but death and taxes. We can add another certainty to that list. Our muscles will weaken and even atrophy as we age unless we take care of them by strength building and exercise. In other words, you really do need to move it or you lose it.
Marquette University recently received a $2.8 million grant from the National Institutes of Health to fund research on how decreased muscle mass can lead to increased fatigue in aging populations and how a novel exercise program can address those effects.
Dr. Sandra Hunter is a professor of exercise science at Marquette University's College of Health and Sciences, and Dr. Robert Fitz is a professor of biological sciences. For our latest Fit for You, they explain how they are studying the effects of exercise in older adults and the greater implications the study could have.
Older adults have difficulty with many daily tasks, such as going upstairs, even getting out of a chair, and that's usually a strength-limited issue. They also have difficulty with tasks that are needing a lot of sort of fatiguing contractions. And so older adults are usually more fatigable, particularly in their lower limbs, than young people. And so there's this problem of greater fatigability, lack of strength, and that's sort of a general issue that we're trying to address with this grant in two ways. One, by trying to look at or examining the causes of that greater fatigability and lack of strength. And secondly, by a program of sort of a new novel program of exercise that we're going to implement.
And what are the greater implications for quality of life in older adults if they do not strengthen their muscles?
Well, one of the big problems is muscle mass decreases particularly rapidly after age 70. And so if they don't try to prevent that change, they get limited in their muscle mass and muscle power from the point of view of even doing daily activities like getting out of a chair and walking to the kitchen, for example.
So something that – like an activity that might be, you know, take, say, 50% of your strength, for instance. I won't say mine, but yours because you're young. But for an older adult who's 70-plus, it might be close to 100% of their strength. And so increasing the muscle mass will at least address some of those issues and give them more a bit of a buffer between what they're able to do and what's required.
And given this buffer, will this help stave off some of the paths people need to take, such as assisted living or further medications, surgeries that may come about in older age?
One of the things it'll likely do, and we think it'll do, is that it would increase strength, or at least a decrease in loss of strength. They're less likely to fall, break hips, break bones, and therefore less likely to end up in a hospital.
Okay.
Yeah, a really interesting fact is that people who have – older adults who have low strength have a greater chance of mortality, and that's a really well-known fact now.
And so what techniques are you utilizing in your research to tap into these problems and finding potential solutions? I've read there's such a thing called transcranial magnetic stimulation or magnetic resonance spectroscopy, as far as I know. So for all of us, what are these two techniques and what does it do in your research?
Okay, so Bob and I are taking a really collaborative approach here. I do the whole body science and he does the molecular or the cellular science. So the whole body science, we're using transcranial magnetic stimulation. We're stimulating the brain to try and understand the integrity of the nervous system and fatigue that occurs within the nervous system as young and older adults are doing, you know, some type of fatiguing contraction, say, with their lower limb. We're also using magnetic resonance spectroscopy, which is a technique in the magnet, and we're doing that out at MCW, where we can examine the metabolism of the muscle during exercise. So that's sort of the whole body exercise that we're looking at. Bob, on the other hand, is doing some pretty cool techniques in his lab where we get bits of muscle. We take muscle biopsies from the leg muscles of these participants before and after training, and then he can talk to the single fiber work that he's going to be doing.
Well, I would just say that the spectral work will tell us exactly what's going on with the various substrates within the muscle. And my lab has studied muscle fatigue for many years, and we're sort of guessing at what are those changes in, for example, glycogen or lactic acid or hydrogen and various factors that are known to cause fatigue. And so we'll be able to take that data and then with the muscle biopsy data and isolating the single cells, we'll be able to study those fibers under those conditions and see how they've been altered by the aging process and ultimately how they're protected against that with the training.
How many different ages of muscle groups are you studying? Is it just in the older participants or do you have a range of people?
We have a range. But we're going to have a younger a group because we need to compare it to, you know, what is the changes over years of life. And so we'll have a younger group, men and women, and we'll have older groups. And those groups will be divided into degrees of age. In other words, there's big differences between 70 to 80 and 80 to 90 plus.
And in addition to studying the effects of aging and exercise for nerves and strength in the muscles, how does your exercise training program address this issue?
Well, classically, training has been built around to protect muscle mass, high resistance exercise such as weightlifting in the gym, where you might do a maximal lift with heavy weight and do it very rapidly. Evidence coming out a few years ago suggests that they might get better protection, especially in particular muscle fiber types that are dominating in the elderly, which is a slower type, with slower contractions but built on a contraction that's still generating peak power. So this is a novel training, and it's a key part of a part of our project.
So what kind of exercise do you have your participants doing?
So they'll do the basic types of exercise that are currently done, like, for example, squats. But instead of doing the squat in a second, they'll do the squat with 6 seconds going down and 6 seconds coming up. And that'll give you a 12-second stress on the muscle fibers rather than a 2-second stress. And we believe and we have data to suggest that that will increase protein synthesis and therefore better protect the muscle mass. With aging, we know that there's an increased number of slower type fibers and a reduced number of the faster type fibers. And these two fiber types are benefited by training in different ways. And the longer contraction is more beneficial to the slower fiber type, which is the fiber type predominating in older adults.
And what have you noticed so far, and how long have you been observing your research?
Well, we've just started the project. It's only just been awarded, although we've got quite a lot of pilot data. In terms of the fatigability that is greater in the old adults, we've been noticing that we've done experiments on the arms and the legs, and the early results are showing that it's not due to fatigue within the brain, that older adults are more fatigable, but probably mostly within the muscle. Now, both young and old adults do have fatigue within the brain in the central nervous system during these fatiguing contractions, but the age difference appears to be due to differences within the muscle. And that's where it's a really nice project where we can get these muscle biopsies from these older adults and younger adults and then examine exactly what's going on in the muscle.
So do you find that the stress that the brain is under, whether it takes longer or shorter to recover, is due to age and how the body responds?
Well, we have shown that for some contraction types, particularly sort of long duration static contractions, that older adults do have greater fatigue within the central nervous system. That's sometimes called central fatigue. But for these types of dynamic contractions, we think it's the age difference is much more within the muscle itself.
As this continues, will this study be utilized outside of Marquette to help other research and other institutions?
Well, we certainly hope so. We hope it also helped the general public because we hope that eventually these types of training techniques will get out into the, you know, regular exercise training programs in the communities. And of course, we also think that both the central work and the muscle fatigue work within the muscle fibers will be beneficial to the scientific community as well. I spent quite a bit of my career working with NASA and looking at muscle wasting in microgravity. And in space, the astronauts can lose up to 50% of their muscle mass within a 6-month flight. And of course, with the aging process, it's a lot slower than that. But many of the changes are quite similar from the point of view of the proteins that are lost and the power loss. So I think the results of our study can not only benefit the lay public, but probably benefit NASA's program and the astronauts.
Yeah. The other aspect of this is there's a lot of applicability to the differences between men and women, which we will be looking at, particularly as they age, and do they have the same response? And, for instance, NASA just have put out a report that I contributed to, which was examining the effects of sex and the impact of sex and gender on adaptations to space flight, particularly within the muscle, which is the part that I contributed to. And because as more women are being put into space, they're having the same issues that Bob was just talking about. And the question is, are those issues the same and do they have the same magnitude of loss in muscle mass and changes within the central nervous system as well? So there's a lot of applicability for the work that we're doing.
With your firsthand experience in studying these effects and noticing the trends of aging firsthand through this research, what is your advice to older adults in the community right now to stem off this muscle deterioration that you're trying to fight?
Well, my first advice is to keep active. Once you start losing muscle mass and get inactive, it's a vicious cycle of loss. So the key is to maintain activity at whatever level you're able to, and also maintain flexibility. So flexibility and muscle power are really the things that decline rapidly with age, and those are the things we need to be concerned about.
Yeah. And old muscle is quite adaptable. It's people should not be afraid of that. And so there's a bit of a fear factor, and there's, you know, these myths that older adults don't adapt as well, and that's just not true. We've done studies where we've looked at the adaptability of both young and old, and the older adults are just as adaptable, both within their central nervous system but also within the muscle. And Bob's absolutely right. Keep active, because it can make an enormous difference.
What kind of response have you seen in your participants so far?
We've been putting ads out in the paper, and we've had quite a few people enroll in the studies that we've got going so far. At the moment, we're just at the phase where we're doing the cross-sectional study, where we're examining the differences between young and old. We haven't yet implemented the training program, but we're going to start ramping that up next year. So if there's anyone out there who wants to join and who wants to enroll in our studies, they are most welcome.
I'll consider this a public service announcement call.
Absolutely. We need healthy older adults.
Well, great. Thank you so much for coming in today, Sandra and Bob.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Great being here.
Dr. Sandra Hunter and Dr. Robert Fitz of Marquette University have been awarded a $2.8 million grant from the National Institutes of Health to study the effects of aging and exercise.
To find out more about the study and to see if you'd like to participate, go to wuwm.com.